What does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst,
okay,
we don't think it falls within the actus reus.
My outbursts
to begin with
require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside
the courthouse, we'd have to show that they were aiming at the proceeding. Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly, and this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We and went around that tree yesterday.
I know. I heard the argument yesterday, but I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of those protesters had corrupt intent.
So mostly peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a high bar.
They intend to do it, all right.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Prison's not got a free shot, all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Tuesday, 16 April, year of our Lord, 2024, day two of the Moscow show trial, 2024 version in New York City. We're going to get to that in a moment, but pretty explosive down at the Supreme Court today about J6. The one and only Julie Kelly is here. Mike Davis is going to jump in. He's covering a lot of things for us today. Julie, your assessment on Fisher, was it Fisher versus the United States? Give me your
Correct.
Assessment.
So Joseph Fisher, one of 350 J6ers now charged with what they call obstruction of an official proceeding, 1512C2. This case finally made it to the Supreme Court. Oral arguments were this morning. I was a little disappointed in the representation for the J6ers. I think he kind of stumbled out of the gate on one of these terms in this vague statute, otherwise kind of separating part one of the statute to part two, which is 1512C2. But look, the government, the DOJ, has weaponized the statute. It's post-Enron, Arthur Anderson scandal, destruction of evidence or destruction of records statute that now the DOJ is trying to turn these protesters into lifelong felons, and they've been very successful and throw them behind bars. So anyway, oral arguments today, I think the majority of justices expressed a great deal of skepticism as to how DOJ has misinterpreted intentionally the vague language of this statute. And hopefully the Supreme Court will come back and overturn how the DOJ has used this, not just 350 J6ers, but of course Donald Trump as well, that this statute was never intended to be used in the way it has been. It never has been before. And as Elizabeth Preligar there said, it won't be in the future. This only relates to Americans who protested Joe Biden's election for a few hours more than 3 years ago.
How did we actually get here? Walk me through, give me a minute on how they actually took this post-Enron about destroying documents. What backflips did they have to do to actually make this one of the biggest charges they brought against the J6ers?
Well, you will recall, of course, Steve, that 1512C2 is an Andrew Weissman specialty. This is the obstruction charge that represented about half of Robert Mueller's final report in 2019 for imaginary Russia collusion, and that Andrew Weissman sort of wanted the DOJ to pursue obstruction of an official proceeding, meaning various investigations, meaning the Robert Mueller probe against Donald Trump and others. That was unsuccessful. But they were very successful here, and I'll tell you why, Steve, because you have at least 17 judges, D.C. judges, on the district and appellate court who have put their imprimatur on the DOJ's intentional abuse of this statute. And I really want to emphasize that the judges here are the villains. There was only one judge, Trump appointee Carl Nichols, who dismissed this count against Joseph Fisher and two other J6 defendants, saying that, you know, parsing various parts of the statute, but basically saying it was never intended to be used this way, which of course it wasn't. So this is how this case finally got to the Supreme Court. But every other judge who considered a motion to dismiss filed by a defendant denied those motions, giving the green light to DOJ to continue to bring this charge. Steve, even in the face of the Supreme Court oral arguments today, Matthew Graves, the D.C. U.S. attorney, indicted a man from California on this count just last week. So they are completely thumbing their nose at the Supreme Court, and I hope that that's some consideration that the justices will give in terms of how they are going to overturn and reverse this, or will they too put their imprimatur on this, then escalating the slippery slope of taking vague criminal federal statutes to, criminalize political dissent, especially only, really, those on the right.
Julie, hang here for one second. I'm going to bring Mike Davis into this conversation. Mike, I noticed that Andrew Weissman is not wall-to-wall. They're talking about Trump's trial. They're not talking about this. That means that MSNBC must not be totally happy with what happened in the Supreme Court today. What's your assessment?
Well, first, I think we all owe a great deal of thanks to Julie Kelly for her constant and dogged reporting on this for several years now. It was really Julie Kelly who brought this to the forefront. And I'll tell you, as a former clerk on the Supreme Court, they have discretionary review. They don't have to take these cases. And they don't take cases that are dogs. This is an important case because what the Supreme Court is likely going to do is reverse these criminal convictions for these January 6th defendants who have been they've been persecuted. They have been persecuted by the Biden Justice Department. The Biden Justice Department has intentionally misread this post-Enron statute, this vague and overbroad statute that deals with destruction of records in the corporate setting. And the Biden Justice Department has used this statute to go after political enemies. And these judges on the D.C. District Court, the judges on the D.C. Circuit are a disgrace. And it's not just the Democrat judges, it's both parties. They have been a disgrace. And even in the face of the imminent reversal of these criminal convictions by the Supreme Court, which could be a 6-3 or more ruling, you're seeing these prosecutors like Matthew Graves, you're seeing Jack Smith, who brought these obstruction charges. Two of the four charges against Trump relate to 1512. You're seeing these judges They're going to pretend like this reversal never happened. They're going to come up with other ways to continue to go after these January 6th defendants with even harsher sentences. And they're going to say, Jack Smith's going to say, he's already saying that the Supreme Court's reversal that's probably going to happen before the end of June doesn't apply to Trump's charges. The Supreme Court needs to very broadly and forcefully reverse these convictions. I think the Supreme Court should strike the whole statute because it's so vague and overbroad, and it's been politicized and weaponized against political enemies.
Hold on, give me that again. You think they're already laying the groundwork for why they're just going to ignore what the Supreme Court rules here, unless they're very broad and specific?
No question. These judges are the prosecutors, Matthew Graves, Jack Smith, these Biden prosecutors, along with these D.C. judges, are making it very clear that even if the Supreme Court reverses several hundred criminal convictions of these January 6th defendants under 1512, these prosecutors, these Biden Democrat prosecutors, and these judges are going to find other ways to punish these January 6th defendants. Julie Kelly can jump in here. She knows she's been reporting on this for a while.
Julie, your thoughts on that, on Mike's comment?
So, Mike, first, thank you. Mike's such a good friend, and thank you for your kind words there. But Mike is exactly right, and we've been reporting on this. Matthew Graves not only continues to bring indictments about the with this charge, but he and the other judges are trying to figure out how to further enhance, expand the prison sentences. If this charge is dropped in most January 6 cases and you have over 100 who have been sentenced to prison time, some are in prison right now. Few judges have released them pending this Supreme Court reversal. But what Matthew Graves and these judges are signaling is, okay, well, they'll come back. They'll ask, you know, we're going to drop this count, which will dramatically reduce their prison time if they have other charges like misdemeanors or civil disorder. This obstruction felony is the animating sentencing element that continues to add prison time. So if it's dropped, then you have J6ers who are like, okay, well, 6 to 12 months in prison. Oh, not so fast. These judges are already warning, if you come back and ask to be resentenced for this, we're going to add what they call upward departures. We're going to look at your social media and your comments that you have made since you either pleaded guilty or were convicted. We're going to look at other sentencing enhancements. The appellate court, Steve, just a few weeks ago, actually last month, overturned an enhancement that the government and these judges were adding to 1512C2 convictions. The appellate court, believe it or not, Democrats came back and said, no, this does not relate to obstruction of official proceeding. So these judges are now signaling, okay, well, we'll have to drop that enhancement. But they have a whole menu of options in terms of extending prison time. So even if it's a misdemeanor, they can figure out a way, okay, this person has been sentenced to prison for 36, 40 months on the obstruction count. We have to drop that. He's got four other misdemeanors. That should be 6 to 12 months. But we're actually going to stack those sentences. They're not going to be serving them at the same time, which is how they usually do it. They're going to have to be stacked consecutive on top of each other so they can keep these people in prison. Because, Steve, instead of coming clean, these 17-plus judges and Matthew Graves and these prosecutors, instead of saying, yeah, you're right, okay, we're caught by the Supreme Court, we made one of the biggest prosecutorial abuses in American history to do this and create this class of political prisoners and turn Trump supporters into lifelong felons, stripping them of their rights and putting them behind bars. Oh, no, they are not going to show any measure of apology or regret that they've done this. They are already maneuvering how they are going to get away with this and how they're going to add other sentencing enhancements and maybe even add other charges if this charge is dropped. It is really so evil and malicious what happens in this DC courthouse between these prosecutors and judges, and this includes Trump judges. You had Judge Tim Kelly recently, when this enhancement was dropped, saying, well, but we still have to think of an obstruction enhancement. We can't just let these people get away with it, actually flouting what the DC appellate court had said. They are a rogue bench in Washington, D.C., and I hope the Supreme Court has been paying attention to how they are planning to get around a full reversal or overturning of how they've abused 1512C2.
Okay, I'd like you both to stay there. We're going to drill down more on this Fisher situation. Also talk about Trump's jury. I think six people have already been impaneled. All next in the War Room.
Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty. And that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Done. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Julie Kelly, we had Jeff Shepard on. We did Coup d'etat Saturday, which the audience absolutely loved, and we took a very different take on Nixon, on the coup d'etat against Nixon, not really with the CIA or anything related to that, but Jeff Shepard was actually in the White House. He's taken 40 or 50 years of his life to document each one of these things for the National Archives, and he says it was a coup d'etat by the federal judiciary, the Department of Justice, with a little help from the FBI, but also congressional staffs. Are you seeing that here on the J6 situation? Do you see the same type of thing, a kind of a conspiracy to basically punish people that were exercising their First Amendment right?
I mean, I would not be surprised whatsoever if there's extensive communication between these judges and their staff and the DOJ, particularly D.C. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves's office. Would not surprise me a bit. But of course, we know that DOJ was working with the January 6th committee and sharing evidence, and in some cases now the J6 committee concealing or destroying evidence. So, but the relationships, the cabal that exists in Washington, D.C., when you have, say, a Judge Florence Pan, who we've talked about, who it's her opinion that was discussed today in the Fisher case in a 2-1 decision. She wrote the opinion upholding 1512C2 in these J6 cases. Her husband, Max Steyer, is not only a Brett Kavanaugh accuser, but he's a very influential Democrat Party activist who's working hand in glove with the Biden White House right now to prevent Donald Trump, if he wins, from instituting this civil service reform that you know about, that he wants to be able to fire at will thousands of government employees. That's one conflict. Then you have Matthew Graves. His wife, also a very influential left-wing Democrat Party activist, she runs a $100 million nonprofit, the National Women's Law Center. Get this, Steve. Her name, Fatima Goss Graves, as her husband is flouting, thumbing his nose at the Supreme Court oral arguments, continuing to bring this charge, even though it might be reversed. She's part of a broad coalition demanding that Clarence Thomas step down from the Supreme Court. This is the kind of incestuousness that happens in the nation's capital. I could think of probably another half dozen examples. But of course, the judiciary working hand in glove with Congress, working with the Department of Justice. That has happened before. It's happening before our very eyes. And that's why it's imperative, like Mike Davis said, that the Supreme Court put an end to this and put it an end to it in very strict, unwavering terms. This is not what this statute was intended to do. January 6th and congressional business is not a quote-unquote official proceeding. This does not apply to 1512. The entire code right there deals with tampering with witnesses and informants and talks about judicial proceedings or investigations or trials. It's not talking about certifying the Electoral College. They need to be extremely clear that this is not what the statute means and that January 6th was not an official proceeding. There was no record destruction involved, and that the second half of the statute relates to the first, which would support this record mutilation or destruction part of the statute. They need to be extremely clear. If they come out with a muddled opinion, this will only embolden the Department of Justice, not just to keep this charge, but to punish anyone who has already been released from prison or has delayed their sentencing or delayed trials on this. They are a vengeful, reckless, bloodthirsty cabal that exists there. And I've seen it firsthand. It's really sickening. And they will punish these people if the Supreme Court gives even a little tiny inch to DOJ and the courts for related to the statute.
Julie, where do people keep up with your reporting? Like Mike said, you have been the patriot that's been here for years doing this, and so much of this would of the even possibility of setting these wrongs right would never have happened without your doggedness, stick-to-itiveness, and just good old-fashioned grit. Where do people go?
Well, thank you, Steve. And I mean, it wouldn't have gone anywhere really without you covering my work for the past few years and bringing this to your audience and to the forefront as well. And Mike Davis for his support too. So it's a team effort here. And it's gratifying to see that, you know, we might actually get some victories here. So I'm at Substack Declassified with Julie Kelly, also Real Clear Investigations, and Twitter X Julie _ Kelly 2, True Social Julie _ Kelly.
Julie, thank you so much. Great work. Bravo.
Thanks,
Zula.
Steve.
Mike, before I get into the details thing, I got to ask you, you've dedicated your life to this profession. You've dedicated your life to the rule of law. You've worked for great men like Associate Justice Gorsuch. When Julie Kelly outlines what DOJ's done here with the federal judiciary, and correct me if wrong, D.C.'s considered the highest appellate court, the highest. I mean, these are like the top of the line, right? These are the people that looked at to be on the Supreme Court one day. Kavanaugh came out of here. Is she right? I mean, are you, as you look at it as a professional, is Julie Kelly right? As bloodthirsty, disgusting, corrupt, vengeful, sir?
100% Julie Kelly is correct about that. And I would say to these federal judges, particularly these federal judges in D.C., when you take off your judicial robes and you climb into the political arena, expect to take political punches. And we've been doing that at the Article 3 Project with our judicial misconduct complaint against a federal judge like Reggie Walton, who thought it was a good idea to go on CNN on Caitlin Collins' show and trash a criminal defendant going through the criminal process. You saw this with this Democrat judge, Beryl Howell, who used to be the chief judge, Elise Stefanik, the great congresswoman from New York, filed a judicial misconduct complaint for her for having some women's powwow speech, political speech, trashing Trump. These judges in D.C. have crossed a red line by being political. And what they've done to the January 6th defendants is inexcusable. President Trump is a billionaire, former and likely future president of the United States. What they are doing to him is highly destructive to our country. They've crossed the Rubicon, but President Trump has the resources to fight this. These January 6th defendants do not. And if they can do this to President Trump, just imagine what they can do to the rest of us. Just see what they're doing to these January 6th defendants, where they are taking what was a lawful protest permitted by the National Park Service and devolved into a riot. And the Biden Justice Department, along with these these partisan Democrat judges and these cowardly, sanctimonious Republican judges in D.C. have tried to destroy their lives. They've contorted federal criminal law unconstitutionally, illegally to go after them. And this is a criminal conspiracy. Under federal law, there is a federal criminal conspiracy statute. It's a criminal conspiracy against rights where these prosecutors, these judges, these other Democrat operatives, and frankly, even Republican operatives, these anti-Trump forces, have gone after Trump. They've gone after his top aides like you and Peter Navarro. They've gone after his attorneys. They've gone after his supporters on January 6th. And they have politicized and weaponized our justice system at many different levels. In the federal system with Jack Smith, the Alvin Bragg, Tish James, Fannie Willis, this lawfare, this election interference is a criminal conspiracy, and there must be severe consequences. Once these courts lose their legitimacy, they must lose their funding. And I'll tell you this, these judges, these prosecutors who have politicized and weaponized the justice system to violate Trump and so many others' civil rights, they must pay severe legal, political, and financial consequences for this. And that must happen in the Trump 47 Justice Department.
Must happen immediately. That's one of the reasons you're going to be the Attorney General of the United States. Real quickly, how people came back today from the lunch break and the Trump team went through their social media and they were posting from years ago, people partying, you know, Trump lost, all kind of negative Trump stuff. And the judge allowed them to stay in the jury pool. And now we have six jurors impaneled already. Am I understanding this correctly, Mike Davis?
Well, I mean, this Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden in 2020 against Trump and another anti-Trump group, and his adult daughter, Lauren Merchan, is making millions of dollars fundraising off of her dad's criminal prosecution, unprecedented criminal prosecution of the former president, likely future president. It should not surprise anyone. Trump is not going to get a fair trial in New York City. They're going to find him guilty. They're going to convict him. They're going to try to throw him in prison because they fear that President Trump is going to beat Biden like a drum on November 5th, 2024. So they want these Democrat prosecutors and Democrat judges and Democrat juries and these Democrat hellholes like New York, D.C., and Atlanta just throw him in prison, bankrupt him, disqualify him. They want Trump dead in prison before they put him back in the White House.
Mike, can you hang on? President Trump, it turns out the court's going to 5:30. President Trump's supposed to come out and talk to the sticks. Real America's Voice will pick it up. I would love your observations. He also, I believe, is going to go to, he may be going somewhere else, and David Zier, Real America's Voice, will also be there, whether that'll happen between 5:30 and 6 or afterwards. But David Zier, Real America's Voice, is on it. Okay. Court's about to wrap up. I understand President Trump's going to come to the sticks. We're going to take a short commercial break. We also have Laura Loomer. There was kind of a mini riot today. Illegal alien invaders wanted work permits and other things at City Hall in New York City. Laura Loomer was there. We'll get to all that. Birch Gold. Gold finished at $2,399. $2,399 today. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go talk to the team at Birch Gold and do it today. Gold at an all-time high. Short commercial break. Back in a moment.
Criminals have access to more advanced tools than ever, and now they're using them to steal our most valuable asset. That would be your home. In Miami, an elderly woman didn't find out an empty plot of land she owned was stolen until she went to pay taxes. A stranger had already paid them, and property records showed she had sold the land. They had forged her signature and registered a fake deed. How scary is that? That's why you need to get Home Title Lock today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and immerse yourself in this information. think that it can't happen to you? Well, you are wrong. When's the last time you checked your home's title? All a thief has to do is forge your signature, refile as the new owner. And once your home is not in your name, it can get really ugly, and it can get really ugly fast. They can take out equity loans or even sell your house to an unsuspecting buyer who shows up at your door one day and says, hey, this baby is mine. Don't think your home insurance policy will protect you. It won't. Check your home today for free when you get to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Bannon at signup. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon at signup. You'll get a free scan of your home's title plus 30 days of protection totally free. That is 30 days of protection totally free. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon. Do not let these thieves steal your home in broad daylight.
So here in City Hall right now, there's a bunch of African migrants from Guinea who are here today to try to get work permits. And I spoke with some of them. They're all Muslim. And they told me that they are here illegally. They came in through the Mexican border. Many of them came through Arizona. And they're here trying to get asylum. This is now becoming a normal scene in New York City, out in the middle of City Hall. Okay? This is literally 2 minutes down the block from where President Trump is on trial right now. These are all illegal aliens. And I know so because I just interviewed them. They're all Muslim too. I mean, look, you can see this guy here. He's wearing a shirt, a hat that says Islamic Relief. And I spoke with him and he said that, I said, how did you guys get through Ramadan in the shelter? And they told me that the mosque helped them. So you have local mosques that are assisting Islamic invaders, giving them food, giving them resources, and now they're just hanging out on the streets of New York City, out in the open. I don't see any border patrol. I don't see any ICE. I don't see any ICE out here.
Laura Loomer, one of the reasons this trial is such a joke, New York's being overrun by illegal alien invaders. There's aerial shots, and we'll play this B-roll, that looks like thousands around. What was this gathering today? It got kind of pushy. It got a little bit out of control. What is happening in New York City at City Hall?
Yeah, so just about 2 blocks up the road from where President Trump is being gagged and threatened with arrest and told he can't attend his son's graduation, there were about 1,000 African Islamic invaders that decided to overtake City Hall today. And these people, right, they're pretty much straight off the boat right across the border. I spoke with them, okay? They told me that they came across from Mexico, from states like Arizona and California, Steve, and they've been here for about 3 to 5 months, some of them 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, the longest one, 8 months. And they're living in shelters and they're being bounced from shelter to shelter here in New York City. And these African invaders told me that during Ramadan, because I asked them, I said, are you Christian? Are you Muslim? What are you? And they said they're Muslims. And so I started asking them, you know, what did you do during Ramadan recently? How did you get your food? Because that's a lot of mouths to feed, right? And they told me that local mosques and Islamic organizations are assisting them in getting food for them and supporting them. So it's just a full-blown invasion, and they're demanding work permits. They were in the park today with their community representatives from the mosque. They all speak French. Most of them were from Guinea. And they are just demanding work permits, demanding food, and demanding money. And it's like, who are you to come into my country and start making demands?
What this whole thing on the work permits, I mean, this is what's crushing African-American, Hispanic-American citizens' wages. I mean, if they're going to give work permits to these folks, they're just going to drive down. All you're doing is adding to a labor pool that already has too many people looking for too little work, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when I started speaking with some of their community representatives and I said, oh, well, you know, there's Americans that are unemployed and there's homeless Americans, there's people looking for jobs. They said, oh, well, that's not true. And they used leftist talking points about how these people want to do the jobs that Americans don't want to do. And then he started telling me that these, you know, third world invaders who don't even speak English were going to grow up to be the Elon Musks of the world. So there really is a distortion of reality and delusions of grandeur among many of these invaders who are coming into our country. They seem to think that they're all going to be intellectual geniuses and tech billionaires and that they're going to be, you know, making amazing advancements for Western civilization. And it's the question I ask them is, well, if you're such a genius and you're, you know, you have such high expectations of yourself as an invader, why are all of your countries some of the poorest and most underdeveloped countries in the world? Shouldn't you be staying where you came from and be fixing your own country for your own children and your own grandchildren instead of polluting my country?
What is, tell me about this. There's another pro-Palestinian protest tomorrow. Are any of these people participating in that? I mean, have you seen any crossover so far?
I didn't really see any crossover today. I think these people were separate. In fact, this morning when I first saw that there was a large group of people going towards City Hall, I thought that maybe it was the pro, you know, Free Palestine movement, the Hamas supporters that were waving Hezbollah flags yesterday in Wall Street. But this is a different group of people. They are Muslims. I mean, you know, the people that were protesting on Wall Street also Muslims. So who knows? Potentially there could be crossover. We've seen that the Free Palestine movement, BLM and Antifa, are the open borders crowd. So I wouldn't be surprised if we ever see crossover. But tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. in Union Square in New York City, the Hamas supporters are planning a shut it down rally. That's what they're actually calling it. I sent your team the graphic. You can get it up on the screen if you'd like, but it literally says shut it down. And we saw yesterday, Steve, that several of these Palestinians, they were arrested for assaulting NYPD police officers and targeting the Brooklyn Bridge, actually storming through the barricades. So, you know, we're constantly told about the J6ers and insurrections and, you know, storming barricades, storming fences. But when radical Palestinian Hamas-loving Hezbollah flag-waving jihadis literally, you know, knock NYPD police officers over onto the ground and storm the Brooklyn Bridge and target the Golden Gate Bridge and shut down O'Hare Airport, nobody says anything. What about locking these people up?
And shouting death to America the entire time. Last question. President Trump, they put in for a contempt charge today on the unconstitutional gag order. He continues to push the narrative. What do you think about people being seated as jurors or staying in the jury pool that have on their social media have anti-Trump or putting up clips of celebrations on in 2020 of Biden stealing the election? They've got all kind of negative anti-Trump, never Trump material on their social media, but the judge is letting them stay in the jury pool. Your thoughts?
Well, it's no surprise, right? Look, the judge's own daughter has anti-Trump propaganda up on her social media, as I exposed, and the judge himself donated to Joe Biden. And today, I guess there were several discussions that took place about some of the jurors and their pro-Biden social media posts, and Judge Mershon excused it. So we can't expect a judge who began the trial on day one by saying that he wasn't going to recuse himself, even though his daughter currently has the Biden-Harris campaign as a top client, to actually oversee this trial fairly. We know that it's going to be a witch hunt, and there's no way in hell that Donald Trump is getting a fair trial. But the more they persecute Donald Trump, the more they make him relatable. I was walking to court this morning, and I overheard a black man in line at family court say, "Yo, man, Donald Trump is at the same court I'm at today. He's a gangsta." And now Donald Trump is ordering food at a bodega in Harlem. So, you know, he's just becoming more relatable with these people. I think it's going to backfire.
How do we get to your podcast? How do we get to your social media?
Well, usually Loomer Unleashed is every Tuesday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. But due to my travel schedule this week, it's going to be Wednesday and Friday. You can go to rumble.com/Laura Loomer and be sure you're following me on X and Truth Social, Gab and Getter at Laura Loomer.
We'll get you back on here tomorrow. Make sure we push out all your content. Thank you, Laura. Great job. Stay safe. We got a cold open. Bob Good joins us. We got a cold open for Congressman Good.
Look, we are in unprecedented times. Okay, we're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here around the world and here at home. we need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment we're in right now. He said arguably maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
Are you kidding me? You're a wartime consigliere. I got it. He's given his own reviews. He's a wartime. I think we'll put that to a war room posse vote. Speaker Johnson, or we refer to him as Polly Pockets. Anyway, Congressman Good, can you give us an update on what's going on, particularly about this kill the rule that Russ vote and J.D. Vance talked to us about this morning? Where we stand right now?
Well, we had a 90-minute meeting with the speaker today, some of my House Freedom Caucus colleagues and myself, and we really just laid it out for the speaker. We had a constructive, I hope productive, I think a healthy discussion, just trying to help him see that the current track is unsustainable. Number one, it's terrible for the country. Number two, it's terrible for Republican prospects this fall if the American people don't see us keeping our word and fighting for the border, if they don't see us fighting for them once again. And also, it's terrible for him as a speaker. It's not sustainable for him as a speaker. And we just laid it all out there, and we talked with him about what we see as the right path forward, which is to separate Israel aid and to prioritize that, pay for it. Once again, something even as virtuous, as noble, as appropriate as many of us believe to support our number one ally, Israel, we've got to be fiscally responsible with $35 trillion in national debt, and you can't just continue to make it impossible for us to react to future crises by further exacerbating our debt situation. So we want Israel as a standalone. We want it paid for. We want that to be prioritized. Let's jam the Senate. We talk a lot about the Senate jamming us. Well, let's jam the Senate with what happened over the weekend with Israel. Israel has a heightened awareness across the country, a heightened desire to support them. Let's send an Israel aid package paid for and jam the Senate. Secondly, if we're going to take up Ukraine, and obviously the Democrats are determined to do it, and many Republicans want to do it, it divides the Republican Party, it divides Americans, it certainly divides the Republican Conference, then let's ensure, number one, that it's lethal only, that it's a skinny down deal, that it's paid for, and it must absolutely be tied to real, tangible border security, something that wins for the American people. The speaker, as you know, Steve, called this a hill to die on. Early in his speakership, when he refused, unfortunately, to use the leverage point of the appropriation spending process to try to fight for border security, when the Senate doesn't want to do it and the White House doesn't want to do it, and it's not a must-pass bill, meaning border security, there's no leverage to force them to take it up, you have to use some position of advantage, which was the spending battle. Now they're so desperate, they want Ukraine, that's the kind of the holy grail to them. Well, then let's leverage that. And I would be willing to support that at some level, just because if we don't do that, then we're going to get jammed, as they say, with $60 billion for Ukraine, not paid for, no border security, which would be a disaster for our fiscal situation. Most of us don't want to give any aid to Ukraine anyway on the Republican side. I believe it's maybe 60% who don't support it. So we've had that conversation with the speaker. I think that he's got maybe a better understanding of that this current track he's been on is unsustainable. And hopefully, we'll find out, Steve, certainly in the next 24 hours. Hopefully, we'll hear something good. Past history doesn't indicate we will, but I'm hopeful, and we keep battling accordingly.
Congressman, you're a patient man. I just got to ask you, I would love to hold you through break for a few minutes. No.
Sure.
Mike Johnson was not part of the Freedom Caucus, but was close to it. He had many close friends in the Freedom Caucus. It clearly coming from Louisiana, he was very conservatively, socially conservative. You guys have had a number of conversations, maybe not as a group 90 minutes, but you've had various conversations. And every time you come out of the room, doesn't he just tell you what you want to hear? Isn't he that type of guy that just actually doesn't want to confront the situation and kick the can down the road? So he'll tell you what you want to hear. Because this all sounds logical. Of course, I'm zero for the Ukraine. But do you actually think he took it on board, or is he just trying to get through the meeting?
I want to clarify. I'm zero for Ukraine, too. But when you're faced with a just an impossible situation in terms of what you're going to, they can pass it under suspension of the rules and just ignore us and roll us, and we can say we voted no. Yeah. So we're trying to defeat that, quite frankly, and fight for border security with the last thing that we can grasp at between now and September 30. But you're right, and it's funny that he used the term in the clip you played, wartime conciliar, a wartime speaker. That's what I have called him to be. Hey, Mr. Speaker, we're at war for the country. We're also at war for who we're going to be and what we're going to be as a Republican Party, and we need a wartime speaker. And, you know, fighting isn't words. Fighting is actions. It doesn't matter what you say you want or what you don't want to do or what you do want to do. It's all about action.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Yeah, don't chase. Okay, this morning we talked about killing the rule. You're saying right now, given your 90-minute meeting with you and the senior folks at Freedom Caucus, there may be a possibility that this could get retorqued into what you just laid out. And I agree, I'm zero on Ukraine, but better than getting rolled. If you had to have it your way, that might be a way to go. But we should hold off for right now until we see. You think the speaker will it be tomorrow or Thursday when we actually see what this package is and what the rule is going to be so the Warren posse can go back to the ramparts?
I think we'll know possibly tonight, if not tomorrow morning, and we'll know, hopefully, that he's taking a different track. Hopefully, he's heard what we've said. Hopefully, he realizes that what he was planning to do is untenable, and he listens to what we've told him to do. But if he puts the whole thing together into one deal and no border security, then everything's on the table. Everything is absolutely on the table. I think the fear of God, to some degree, is in him right now, and I think he may have been listening in a way that he wasn't before. I hope and think he may have heard us. And I'm hoping for the best, preparing for the worst, and we'll just battle accordingly, depending on what he does.
Congressman, you're one of the most revered hawks, deficit hawks, spending hawks in all of Congress. Gold hit today $2,399, and gold does not move in these types of increments. It's moving up. Everybody should go to birchgold.com/Bannon right now and just check with Philip Patrick and the team. Part of the reason, and in the second hour, Dave Bratt's going to join me as an economist, Dr. Bratt. We're going to walk through all the math of what Larry Summers came out. One of the contentions here is not just financing. The Treasury can't sell the government securities today to finance this deficit we have now. You guys are talking about the one that we're currently in the year and has to be done by September 30th. Do you have any update? Are we getting a top line number? And are we going to be able to enforce significant and massive cuts to this federal budget that would get the deficit down to at least under $1 trillion?
Well, this is just one other example of why we're in scary times. The days of spending without consequence are over, as our credit has been downgraded twice in the past year or two, as you know. And yes, now we're finally beginning to see folks unwilling to buy our debt. So then you've got options there. What are you going to print more and cause more inflation more rapidly because of that? So the American people are going to further suffer from the downgraded credit, from the interest rates are going to go up as a result of that. Inflation is going to rise because of that. You don't have any better than Dave Bratt talking about that. But as to your point, we're approaching September 30, the next fiscal deadline. We don't have any information yet on that. We just got a new chair of Appropriations Committee, which is not encouraging to hire kind of an old guard dinosaur, Tom Gold, put him in that spot. I don't think he's a guy that wants to cut spending and wants to address the fiscal situation. I hope that I'm wrong on that. But Steve, what happens 35 days after September 30 is an election. So the speaker needs to demonstrate a willingness to fight, a willingness to go to the mat, not to surrender. At the very least, let's at least not handicap President Trump and hopefully a new Senate and a new House well into next year. Let's just go barely past the new year with any kind of a deal that we make so we do the least amount of harm possible. That's probably the best we're going to get under the current situation.
Congressman Good, where do people, I know you got a travel schedule back in the district, where do people go to find out where they can see you in person, ask questions, and where they go to your social media sites?
Good.house.gov, BobGoodForCongress.com, and @RepBobGood. We're doing a district-wide Freedom Fighters tour next week. We'd love to have folks come out across the district and join us.
Well, get us the list and we'll push it out hard, sir, and we'll look forward to tomorrow morning, late tonight or tomorrow morning, to see if your meeting work with the wartime speaker. Johnson,
thank you,
of Louisiana. Steve. Thank you, sir. Congressman Good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother. Okay, tax day was yesterday. If you didn't file, don't panic. Go to Tax Network USA, TNUSA.com/Bannon. Talk to the professionals there, even if you haven't filed a couple times in the past, or if you think your filing's wrong, or if you got a letter from the IRS. Before you make that phone call to the IRS, call Tax Network USA, TNUSA.com/Bannon. Talk to the professionals. It's all a process. Fear not. It's just a process. Fear not. But you got to talk to professionals. These are things you cannot wing. You can't wing this. And don't just put it in the drawer. It ain't going to go away. Okay. Talk to the pros over at Tax Networks USA. Mike, all kind of articles today about how, and correct me if I'm wrong, the appellate court, all kind of articles about they're not going to talk about your phone. So give me a minute on this. And one of the reasons the appellate court's saying it may be still part of a criminal investigation and they need your data, they need your information, they need your phone is what are they talking about?
Well, they're lying. First of all, remember when the FBI took my phone at that Hardee's, I said, hey, I want to be arrested, you guys, and they wouldn't arrest me. I said, well, if I've done something wrong, I want to be arrested. And I also said, I want to go to the January 6th thing. They go, Mike, this has nothing to do with the January 6th thing. I wanted to go to that committee, that corrupt committee. But when they took my phone, which I reluctantly gave them, and they kept it. And then we went to the 8th District in Minnesota, and those judges said, yeah, they can go ahead and keep it. And so we took it to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court would not look at it this week. They said, no, we're not going to take it. You're going to have to go back to Minnesota, which we are. My great attorney, Pat McSweeney, we're going back there, and we're going to make them tell us why they took it in the first place and how long they're going to keep it. You can't take somebody's livelihood. It's called lawfare. And that's what Pat McSweeney said. In all his 56 years of being a lawyer, he said, Mike, no one, they went against every precedent ever done in this a case like this. They went against that. He says it can only be one thing, lawfare against Mike Lindell.
Unbelievable. Okay, Mike, we'll follow that closely. You're with us live at the Ahern Hotel. Make sure you go to warroom.org, sign up right now. We're still going to jam you in. You do not want to miss this Ahern Hotel all day Thursday, and you get a free lunch. How's that? The whole thing's free. We don't charge. Want to see all the posse members there. Mike, give the posse a deal before we go. We're going to go to the Lindell TV network at 6, produced by Real America's Voice. Give us a deal before we go.
Yeah, here we go, everybody. This is the one you've all loved. This is the MyPillow premiums that now we make with Giza cotton on the outside and the MyPillow patented fill. $25. Doesn't matter if it's king or queen size. And you guys, it doesn't matter what loft level, no matter how big or small you are, you get custom fitted. Remember that with MyPillow Premium. Over 83, almost 84 million sold now. The lowest price in history for the War Room Posse, $25 with promo code War Room, and free shipping on your entire order, everybody. That's exclusive to the War Room. The free shipping promo code War Room. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-873-1062. Go to the website and just pick out all these specials we've left up for the War Room Posse. Many of them are exclusive. And if there's a special in this country, the War Room Posse gets it, plus even more. By the way, wow. your promo code War Room works at mystore.com. Thousands of entrepreneurs and their USA products are up there. Go get the discounts there, too. You guys have been awesome. Thank you so much for supporting employee-owned company MyPillow.
Thank you, brother. Darren Beatty and Dave Brett up next talking about economics. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go there today. See you in a minute.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, WarRoomHealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.